Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Good to be here.
And, of course, Michael Kelly also joining us, producing the program.
Hello, everyone. Always happy to be here.
We appreciate those joining us live as well as those listening to the archive. We really appreciate your time and glad you're here. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help and assistance to the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. They are, number 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. To read the expanded version of these 9 principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. And I'd also like to read our sacred obligations. We have 5 of them. Basically, we define a sacred obligation as a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Spiritual sacred obligations are behaviors that are based on high ethics and integrity and become self-evident once they are known. So our primary sacred obligations are: do no harm, do right. 2, reclaim your power. 3, attune your life leadership paragon. 4, pay it forward. And 5, deliver your greatness. And there's more information at metaphysicalhumanism.org on these as well. So, getting us started tonight, I want to talk just briefly about something that's kind of come up in the recent days, and that's basically making things happen. Now, I've talked about this a lot, but, you know, I get to read a lot of feedback from students and what's going on in their life and how they're growing and evolving, and you know, everybody's trying to reach their objectives. They want to accomplish their goals, their dreams, live their dream, and so forth. And a lot of times we feel held back. A lot of students feel back. A lot of people feel held back. And a lot of that is due to just the process of evolving awareness. And as we learn more about ourselves, about the world, about how we operate, our awareness grows, it evolves, and then we become aware of different things. And, you know, it seems like we spend so many years growing into adulthood and getting well into adulthood, before we hopefully figure out that all that stuff that we thought was important, all those things that we thought, you know, people were thinking about us or social conditioning told us were important, they really aren't. You know, a lot of them. Now, some are, but not everything. And a lot of the things that we worried about, most of it tied to them esteem, by the way, just aren't that important. What is important is being who you are and living your dream and living your life, walking your path in the way that you want to walk. Now, one thing that brought this on for me is basically religious upbringing. Now, I lived that. You know, I was around a lot of people who were indoctrinated in religion, and families were very tight and very devout. And so, you know, you don't leave that. You don't leave the religion. And if you do, well, you know, there's hell to pay. You get disowned. You get disassociated, disfellowshipped, whatever your religion calls it, excommunicated. And that can cause a lot of problems for people because they don't know how to deal with it. And I just had a student who had gone through that, and I didn't know that, and gone through that strict religious upbringing. You know, you things like you get your ears pierced, and that's, you know, a mark of the devil, and, you know, ridiculous nonsense like that. And that can really take a toll on people. Now, some of you listening to this know what I'm talking about. You've lived it too. That's why it's so important to walk your own path regardless of what anyone else thinks or says. Now, it's a given here that we're not talking about your path being, you know, a psycho killer. We're talking about trying to help people, you know, trying to do no harm, do right, those kinds of things. So walk your path. As long as it's harming no one, then walk your path. And just because you may differ in your religious beliefs than your family, that's not doing them harm. They may feel like you're doing them harm, but that's their stuff, not your stuff. It's important to walk your path. It's important to not wait forever to start walking your path, because life is way too short to wait. And life is way too long to deal with the stuff you've got to deal with while you're trying to figure out what your plan is, what your path is. You need to go out and make it happen. You know, I had a mentor, Sal, great guy, and his wife Debbie. I've known him for 40 years, since I was, you know, 16 years old, more than that now, 42 years, it looks like, since I'm getting older. But anyway, you know, the thing about Sal is he went out and made things happen, and I that really impressed me at a young age. And that's all I've done all my life, gone out and made things happen. If I want something, I go after it, and I always get what I want, with the exception of winning the lottery. That's still yet to happen. Notice the positive attitude there. The point is that if you want something, go for it. Visualize it. Expect it. Put it out to the universe. Focus on it. Remember, focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. And make it happen. I don't know how, and you may not know how. I don't know how. I've done a lot of the stuff. I didn't know I was going to do it or make it happen, but it does. It happens. You just keep working at it, and it's up to you to realize your full potential, because nobody else is going to help you realize your full potential, only you. So whatever it is you want, go for it. Work that way. Take some kind of step each day, even a baby step. Do something that takes you closer to your objective and to your goal, and stop worrying about what other people think or what they might think of you. Don't worry about what your family thinks of you. You know, it's not important. You're an adult now. We don't need to worry about those things. There's a lot of unhealthy dynamics in some families, and they may not approve of what you do, but that's just unsolicited advice. That's just control. They don't have any more right to control you than you have to control them. So you do your thing. And let the cards fall where they may. And that's all I got to say about that. Comments, what? Dr. Hunter?
Well, I think it's all important. I think that, you know, we have to just keep going forward, and whatever forward is for the individual, and never mind the rest. But this is probably a really good segue into a letter we received a couple of weeks ago from our Zach. I say our Zach. Just love Zach. And he talks about forgiveness. So, and I see a really good bridge in here when you're talking about whether it's religion, disagreeing with people, you know, having to move forward and people not liking that, you know, and all the kinds of contention that we might face when we are making really big decisions in our life. So this is part of Zach's, just I'm going to just take out a few lines of Zach's letter and then we'll go from there. He's asking about what role does forgiveness play in our lives and what about holding a grudge? So, you know, he's interested in our perspectives, but he moves forward to say his opinion, forgiving doesn't mean forgetting, and it certainly doesn't mean intentionally incorporating that person into your life. It means letting go of the perceived wrongdoings done to you. It's part of self-acceptance, accepting the circumstance and realizing you are who you are, at least in part, because of that circumstance also, and being at peace with it. But he also adds, this leads to another potential topic. What's the difference between being at peace with a circumstance and forgiving someone? Are they the same? Can you have one without the other? And, you know, of course, he's asking about the therapeutic effects to that. And it is a really good discussion. Because when, and let's just take it in context of what you're saying, Dr. Kelly, about sometimes we do have to make decisions that other people may not agree with, or they even frown upon, or sometimes they even point the finger at you and want to persecute you for that. And it's, you know, it's allowing people to have their own beliefs. We can agree to disagree and continue to move forward. And that's the key. We always have to move forward in what we want to explore, what we want to do. So as long as there isn't a wrongdoing, and what I mean by that is as long as there isn't some kind of persecution. And because when people do that, I don't think you really want them in your life anyway. And in my view, I agree totally with Zach about acceptance. You know, it's just accepting what it is. I've never really been comfortable with the word forgive. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it is because it's in that religious context and having been raised around religion also. I'm not sure what it is. For me, it's more about understanding the source of where the events or the opinions or otherwise comes from, and me just moving forward. In the cases where somebody has acted really badly and there really has been a direct action toward harm, that's really a difficult one to come to terms with, I think, you know, because we can feel really hurt and we can feel really angry and we could have gone through a lot of stuff. Trust me, I had a couple of ex-husbands like that, you know, and I mean, I just like, yikes. But honestly, when you come through the other side, it's just, I think for me, it was also accepting my part in it because this is life's a big play. And if I don't have that experience, I can't be who I am today. And that's not a bad thing. Could I have kind of learned these lessons without taking the hard road? Perhaps. But they are who they are. And everybody, I think, in these contexts have power and control issues. We are not thinking of our humanity and yada, yada. We can go on about that. If I check in with my humanity, and I'm just taking care of me, taking care of my family, and moving forward, it does take a different perspective. Do I forget? Absolutely not. No. And I think this is part of people's problems, is they do think forgiveness means forgetting, or it kind of goes hand in hand. If I forgive somebody, then it goes into the unconscious mind, then you wonder why you bang your head against the wall again. Because every experience is a teacher. And if we don't learn from that, then we keep looping around into the same behaviors. And if it's not with that one individual, it's going to be with another individual and another one. Now, look, there's lots of whacked out people out there, and we're always going to encounter them. I'm talking about the people we let into our circle. So what have I learned about this? How do I recognize things? How do I acknowledge things and continue to grow from that? And again, and it was just mentioned here, accepting my part in it, indeed. I have to accept my part in it because I got into that relationship. And in the case of, let's say, family, well, it occurred. You know, you get what you get when you come here and you get all this dynamic going on. But there's still my part in the dynamic. So whether it's choosing to bring somebody into your life or being in a family where you have the dynamic, I must be accountable for all of my part. I may not have handled things well. Sometimes you can handle things beautifully and they're still going to be there, you know, in your face. So you make these decisions as you go forward. And again, I think, you know, I'm sure you have more to add to it, Dr. Kelly, but I'm more of the mind of just acceptance. It is what it is. Can I flare up? You know, do I have still some old stuff? Sure. And I think that there are some lessons that are pretty deep, you know, and they're pretty well ingrained. Not so much by fear or certainly not by hatred. I think there's it's more about what's unjust or where we feel there's an injustice. Because we like to believe everybody's going to be accountable or, you know, somehow there's a balance in the universal scales. So when things don't seem to have been balanced, we think it's unjust. And I think that's when, you know, I have my trigger points when I see not only about, let's say, child abuse, it's the people who do nothing knowing about child abuse. Now, that'll send me, as Dr. Kelly will say, where you can't get a postcard. And yeah. I'll flare up. Now, my own life and my own past and the people in it, you know, I think in time you look back and you see it differently. I really do. But when things are raw, when things you're still going through the emotional stuff about it, it can be, I need to forgive, you know, I'm going to make myself feel better if I can just forgive. And I think we play that guilt on ourselves. We need to accept our emotional process, go through the process and come out the other side. And as Tracy Kelly has said in the chat, there are difference between forgiving or just moving on. And I think it kind of all goes hand in hand if we're using that word forgiving. When we're moving on, I think we're accepting. But we're accepting also our new place in life where, well, I'm not going to do that stuff again. You know, mm-hmm. That if you've got the lesson. Dr. Kelly?
I think that's a good differentiation, you know, forgiveness versus acceptance. Because, you know, and the comments that I'm going to make now about forgiveness are my own feelings, my own thoughts. Take what you want, leave the rest. There's been some chats here in the chat room about, you know, forgetting or forgiving but not forgetting, moving on, different things like that. Here's the deal. They're all correct in their own way. You know, they all say, you know, you got to forgive. You know, you forgive for yourself, not more so than the other person and all that. Well, to me, that's almost equates to not harboring it, not dwelling on it. Look, you know, things happen and people will do mean things at times. Even close friends and family, whatever, will do mean things. And that will kill the relationship. And you may never see them, or you may see them very rarely. Well, you can be cordial, but as I've said many times, I will give people the benefit of the doubt until they give me a reason not to. And then when they do, that means that I'm sorry, the trust has been betrayed, and I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to trust that you're not going to do it again or whatever. Now, if a person has done something wrong to me and they come to me and they ask forgiveness, they apologize, okay, sure, no sweat, not a problem at all. But the thing about forgiveness is, you know, there are things that have happened, people have done things that I haven't forgiven, but I never think about it. I'm sorry, they come to me and they ask for forgiveness, sure, no problem, we'll move on. But I'm not going to forget that, but I don't dwell on it, and it doesn't eat me alive. And that's an important part, too. If somebody does something, you can't hold the grudge, so to speak. You can't dwell on it because it will eat you alive. So in that sense, you forgive them, quote unquote, more for yourself than them. You accept it. It is what it is, as Dr. Hunter said, and you move on. You understand that there's a new reality in terms of your relationship. So, you know, that works for me. There are things that responsible people have done and are responsible for that need to be rectified. Will they? Probably not. I mean, there's a world full of religions that have hurt more people than you can imagine, and yet they keep doing the same old thing. You know, they keep disempowering people. They keep putting people down, calling people sinners, you know, putting all this concocted garbage and obligations on people that comes from nowhere but from the mind of some person some time ago, some ancient time ago, and then just it built from there. And so people think they're doing the right thing. You know, I was Jehovah's Witness. I thought I was doing the right thing by knocking on people's doors, trying to save their soul. It was, you know, spreading the good news. It was a life-saving work, all that jargon that they use. And we thought we were. The fact of the matter is that that belief system, along with every other religious belief system, is just somebody's interpretation of reality. It's not necessarily real. And the burdens and obligations they place on people are honestly heinous at times. And so the people responsible for that ideally should come clean and say, you know what, this is all a big bunch of crap. We don't know squat. Nobody knows where all this came from, what caused it, whether there's a creator or not. We just don't know. So we're going to stop imposing all these obligations that purportedly come from this God and, you know, live your life. Do no harm. Do right. You know, if people would just follow those two things, the whole world would instantly improve. Do no harm. Do right. You want to believe something? Fine. Believe it. I don't care. But, you know, and as Dr. Hunter said, we can agree to disagree on things. There's no problem in disagreeing on things. We don't need everybody to think like us. We shouldn't have that. So bringing this back around to forgiveness, you know, the people, my family that I left when I left the religion, they all think I left them, which I guess I did. But the reality is that I ceased to believe like them. And for that, they cannot accept me unless I believe like them, whereas I can accept them regardless of what they believe. So, you know, do I hold a grudge against them? Not really. It is what it is. I accept their position. I move on. Do I miss them? Sure. But I don't dwell on it. I don't think about it. It's just, it's reality, and it is what it is. I'm too busy doing my own thing, making a positive difference in the world, to worry about what they think of me. And they have a lot of misconceptions. So those are my probably a lot more than 2 cents on forgiveness. And I don't know if it means anything to anybody, but, you know, people do things. If they ask for forgiveness or apologize, sure, not a problem in the world. I don't hold grudges per se, but I don't forget. That's the long and the short of it.
Well, Heather has mentioned quite simply, you forgive to set yourself free. Now, there's just something I'd like to say about that. When you're forgiving, when you say it in that way, it has nothing to do with whoever did you harm.
Right.
When you're setting yourself free, it's you're resolving, accepting, and everything we've just said. Because then it has nothing to do. So it's really not about forgiving someone else. It's about releasing yourself from the anguish, the pain, and however, you know, that you are, and you're moving forward. Another point that Dr. Angie has brought up here, she says, I think different offenses probably mean more to some than others. Good point. There's hurt feelings compared to physical hurt. Another good point. So then she adds, what's a small thing to me that I probably don't even notice may be a big thing to someone else, you know, yeah. and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in that context of, you know, one of the things that, you know, Zach wrote in his letter was about somebody still having his casserole dish, you know. And so if somebody still has a casserole dish, then you should ask for it. Now, if they don't give it back because they like it and they're going to keep it, well, yikes, you know. But are you going to hold a grudge about that? Yeah, I don't think you'll be sending any more casseroles. So, you know, because you won't get the dish back. Or you'll put it in a foil container so you know somebody will always keep your dish. You know, there's so many other possible solutions, right? But if we move on when an actual harm has been done, and to me, I'm going to say this straight up, everybody. I think psychological damage is more debilitating than physical damage.
Yeah, definitely.
I think even something, this is how I define a lie, for instance. A lie is stealing someone's mind. When you alter the reality, you're now on a different frequency altogether. If somebody has lied, they're trying to affect my mind. Stay with me on this. It's really important. Lying is psychological damage. And when somebody lies to me, again, in context, if it's like a little white lie, if it's another kind of lie, well, you know, I kind of roll my eyes in the back of my head and go, geez, I wonder what they feel they're, you know, getting out of that. But if it's a blatant lie to control and manipulate and mislead and take you down a different path of reality, and I find out that, yikes, we're not even on the same planet, that is something you've messed with my mind, you see? And that's, I can't go there. You know, somebody could probably, you know, haul off and hit me and I'd say, what'd you do that for? And punch them back. But when you're dealing with altered realities, it's a whole different thing. And that's very difficult to, what I say, you might say forgive, because I can't give any more to that relationship. So I have to accept, wow, you know, how's that go? Fool me once, fool me twice, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So now I have to say, huh, well, this isn't working for me. But somebody messing with the mind. Now, emotions, they're temporary. You get through it. You have hurt feelings. And you say, you know what, my feelings were hurt. And you work through all the stuff you're thinking about. But when people mess with your mind, it's a whole different thing. So it's, I'm just saying that. So it's, again, varying degrees of lies. Withholding information is not necessarily a lie, unless it's strategic manipulation to get what somebody wants, then it equals a lie.
Yeah, so, definitely. It's unhealthy manipulation.
Sure. So then it's, again, as Dr. Angie said, it's like what bugs one, no big deal. Bugs somebody else, it's a big deal. So it's whatever it is to you. I would like to think that we can all find some balance in just good conduct, you know, and yes, do no harm, do right. But again, that means different things to people, right? So it's just good conduct to be kind, to be sensitive and take care of yourself first. Because if you have nothing left, you got nothing to give. So that's always a really important point. And in my journey, as I have moved forward, if I don't give to me first and make sure I'm intact, I have zero to pass on and share with others. Now, that's not said in a selfish way. It just means I need to keep my sanity. It means that I have to balance my daily chores, my tasks, you know, lots of people. I know what that is to have kids and a family and all that stuff. And, you know, you take care of your basic needs and you're giving as much as you can without infringing on other people. But when people have infringed on me, you know, I just, I have to decide my part. So, and if, again, varying degrees of infringing. So that's what I have to say about it.
All right. So a comment was made in the chat room: when you are a kid and cannot do anything right, it hurts a lot. And that kind of ties back to what I was saying previously. There's a lot of that. And this is an important realization, an important awareness for anybody who is affected by childhood stuff like that, where you can never do anything right, you know, maybe even abuse, whatever, especially physical, even any kind of, and I know it can be tough, but here's the bottom line of it. You're not a child anymore. And we all have to go through this process. We all do at some point in our life. We're adults now. You know, what happened in childhood, we were the victims. I mean, children are about the only victims as a rule there are, because they don't have that free will to do whatever they want, go wherever they want, leave, whatever. Adults, we do. So if you're affected by your childhood, do yourself a favor and release it. Just let it go. Release it. It doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, parents, I mean, a lot of us are older than our parents were when they put us through that stuff. And so we can look back on that through an adult's viewpoint and understand that they didn't know any better, or if they did, they just weren't doing the right thing, whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is, you've got to release it. Let it go. Whatever they did, most parents are trying to do their best. And they still may be misguided, but they're still trying to do their best. It's just like people who give unsolicited advice because they care about a person. They don't really comprehend that they're trying to assume responsibility for another person. They don't understand that they're crossing boundaries. They don't understand any of that stuff. They have good intentions, but they're still misguided. They don't understand what's really going on. So the same thing with your parents. Let it go. You're an adult now. Move past it. There are a lot more important things to do. Be your own person. You know, it doesn't matter what other people think of you. That old, I think, Wayne Dyer that said that, you know, what you think of me is none of my business. That applies to your family, too. Go about your business, do no harm, do right, deliver greatness to the world, and let what they think go. It matters not. And telling you, you get to a certain age and you don't have the emotional resources to fight it anymore. You got to let it go. Let it go. It's not important what they think, what happened. It made you part of who you are, but now you can rise above it and you can move past it. It does not have to adversely affect you anymore because you are an adult. Let it go. All right. So right now I need to say that if you'd like a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room and Michael make a note of that. And I should also explain that for those who are just joining us, that our Inner Oracle card deck is where we pull cards from. This is our own creation, and it basically has a card deck of 54 cards, several suits that basically go over everything that's taught in our schools and our church, everything. And they can be life changing. They're kind of amazing. They don't tell the future per se. Tarot cards. They're designed to get you to think. So that's, and if you don't have a deck of your own and you would like one, you can get one. If you look at the top of the page, you'll see the store link. Just right click and open it in a new page if you're currently in the chat room. Otherwise, come back to it later, but you can get one there. All right. So, Michael, who do we have?
All right. First up, we have Fran.
Okay. You want to go for it?
I'd be happy to. Fran, I drew number 3. Be who you are, walk your own path, and oh my God, it couldn't be better.
That's what I'm saying about these cards. It's unreal how ones get pulled that are relevant to the discussion. I don't know how that works. Consciousness.
Honestly, if I were listening, I would have to wonder if I pulled that card on purpose, but I swear I did not. But, alright. Number three, be who you are, walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one of a kind, universal being, equally entitled to all the good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who you are and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take the best fulfills yourself.
Good. All right. Hopefully that has some special meaning. And, you know, you might hear a card pull for somebody else that also makes sense to you, resonates with you. So it means what it means to you. It gets you thinking. That's the point of these cards. Who's next?
All right. Next we have Tabitha. And Dr. Hunter, would you like to grab that one?
Sure can. I got it right here. Inspiration, motivation, number 45. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. I like that. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. It's interesting. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. So hopefully that resonates with you, Tabitha. So that
I just
want to
make I want to make a quick comment on that too. Motivation. A lot of times we don't feel motivated to do something, and there's a reason for that. We don't see a benefit in doing it, or a significant benefit in doing it, or a passionate benefit in doing it. Now, it's true that we all have to do things that we don't want to do, but, you know, there is a reason to do them if they're important. So if you're having a hard time getting motivated, ask, you know, is this even worth doing? You know, why do I even want to do this? Go over those things, and it might help. Okay, who's next?
Shelley's next there, Michael.
All right, Shelley. Shelley, I pulled number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
That's a good card. That's a nice little message in that reinvention. We have Wendy up next. Do you want me to pull that one, Michael?
Oh, by all means.
All right, Wendy, this one's for you. You know, it kind of comes across as a negative title, but it's actually a really positive card. It's Don't Hate. So, a low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to accept and understand others. Hate grows in the low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how, of course, wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others. Now, maybe it's as simple as you know somebody who's acting in that way at this time, not just yourself. And, you know, I think, again, we were talking before about forgiveness and stuff, but I think the instinctive reaction when somebody's acting in a bad way, that, you know, we put up our walls and our guards and we kind of put out that same kind of energy. So this is just that reminder to, you know, raise our energy, raise our vibration a little bit, and not be equal with that other energy that we might be encountering. So hopefully that resonates with you there.
Okay.
Teresa's next, I think.
Okay.
All right. And if you'd like, I got a card for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
All right. I have number 22, Teresa. Think for yourself.
I think we were talking about that, too.
Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
That goes right along with what I was... Yeah. And that's so true. You know, when you don't think for yourself, you let other people do your thinking, whether that's impose their beliefs on you and their ways on you, you're sacrificing your identity to them. You're taking on their identity. You're no longer you. You're just another version of them. Mm-hmm. Who's next? Go ahead, Bill, if you have something.
Oh, I was just going to say it makes me think of the phrase that an individual is smart, but people are stupid. That somehow when people gather together, we start to form that group think and we stop thinking for ourselves as actively. It's something to guard against.
Yep.
Yeah. I just picked one out here for Colleen next. I think that's where we're at. Is that where we're at, Michael? Do you know?
I believe so.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, Colleen, I got one for you. 34. Take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what's earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what's yours and releasing the rest. You know, I think we all go through that every day of our lives. We always have to check in with that, you know, so that's just a little reminder thing for whatever might be going on in your life there. So, all right. So we have next.
I believe Frank is next, actually.
I'm glad you joined us today, Frank. Nice to see you here. So go ahead, Michael.
All right. Frank, I pulled a great card. It's number 36, gratitude.
Good one.
Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Right. Okay, you know, you guys hear me. I just turned one over for Heather, and it was gratitude.
Wow.
I mean, the odds of that happening with the number of cards is, you know, it's pretty slim.
So I guess, Heather, that card's for you, too.
You know, hopefully you were listening a little, you know, it's resonating around. So next we have Alex. So I've got one here for Alex. Yeah. Again, be who you are, walk your own path. I'm serious. That's number three. We read it earlier. I'm just going to pick out a couple of lines here. You are uniquely designed, one of a kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path. So that's a great card. And, you know, because we've already pulled it, there's a few repeaters here. It's pretty interesting.
I was just thinking, I don't think we've ever had any like this.
We've never had one where Vicki and I pulled the same card, one right after the other.
Or even at different times, if I can remember right.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. That's a powerful energy there. So, do we have anyone else here that I have missed?
Yeah, I believe so. I know that after Alex, I believe Jeff was next.
And go ahead, Michael.
Let's see. All right, Jeff. I almost thought I was going to pull Walk Your Own Path again, but I pulled number 40, Relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Really a key point that we were talking about earlier. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another.
Yep, good relationships card. Are the thing of life. You know, they say that we're in the people business, but we're really in the relationship business because, you know, relationships will make or break you, and that's even true in business. So, all right, so we're going to start wrapping things up, start the outro music, and we appreciate everybody's comments tonight, your input. We've talked about lots of stuff tonight. We talked about making things happen, forgiveness, be who you are, walk your own path a couple of times, inspiration, motivation, reinvention, don't hate, think for yourself, take release ownership, gratitude a couple of times, and relationships. And, of course, there's a lot of other stuff in between as well. So hopefully some of this will help. Hopefully it's got you thinking, provoked you to thought, maybe even disturb you to action a little bit. And we'll be back next week for more. And again, thanks to everybody who's joining us live, those joining the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael Kelly for his help. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.